I'll ask you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5, once again. Advent. We wait. That's what Advent is. We wait for the return of the King. That's Jesus. In a very real sense, we are still in Advent and will be until the day Jesus returns to this earth. Or maybe, just maybe, the day that we return to Him. Do you think that there will be a more joyful moment than when you or I, as followers of Jesus, enter the heavenlies and see the angels singing, proclaiming Jesus' name and shouting out the praises of the Heavenly Father? I have a sneaking suspicion that it just might be like the night that the angels visited the shepherds in the hills of Bethlehem, rejoicing that those who were running with their eyes fixed on Jesus have finally made it home.
Angels in the Bible almost always start out conversations with people in the same way. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Wait, I have good news. As awesome creatures of light sent with messages from the very lips of God, people occasionally have to be reminded not to worship them. Angels are warriors and musicians and supernatural servants of the Lord. But most of all, they are messengers, especially in the story of Christmas. And the news they delivered was somehow bigger even than these beings bringing it to Earth. A Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. Glory to God in heaven, peace on earth to all those He is pleased with. It's the message God's servants still sing as we wait for the return of the King.
There's joy in the living out of our faith. We talked last week about how the love of God leads us to be more intentional about how we share our faith, about how the love of God overflows from our hearts to the lives of other people. This morning we're going to look at our memory verses in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We're going to try and piece together where joy fits into all of this. So if you wouldn't mind, please stand with me as we read this passage of Scripture together. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let's read together. Excuse me. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love and for your goodness. We thank you for your peace, which passes all understanding. We thank you for the hope that is ours, that comes from knowing Christ is with us. Lord, my prayer this morning is that as we prepare our hearts for Christmas next week, that our hearts would be ready to receive what you have for us, that we would make wise choices, that we would make sound decisions and the things that we choose to do and say. And Lord, as the church, may we leave this place and take that message to everyone. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that they would be yours, and that you would use them in the power of the Spirit to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The word joy is a simple enough word, right? Three little letters, J-O-Y, but they convey so much, don't they? For some, and especially for those of you who are younger and into Disney films, when I say the word joy, this might be the image that comes to mind. Okay? Now, if you haven't seen this Disney film yet, it's called Inside Out. It's a Disney Pixar movie. And this joy is the film's main character. And one of the things that this film is about, it's about all of those things that go on inside a person's head. In fact, as the film was being promoted, the tagline was, "Have you ever looked at someone and ever wondered, I wonder what's going on inside their head?" Well, this film explores that in the life of I think she's like 11-year-old girl. And her, you know, this joy is the emotion or the thought control of her life, and everything needs to be happy and everything needs to be wonderful. Now, joy is not the only one inside this main character's head. There's also sadness, right? And there's fear, and there's disgust, and there's anger. Most of us, that's probably, you know, we relate to that guy right there. But all of these emotions, all of these things go on inside of the main character, whose name is Riley. It goes on inside her head, and all of these things are working together, and joy is the main one. And joy's whole purpose in life is to keep Riley happy. But is joy happiness? I don't want to ruin the movie for you, but it's not. And in fact, we understand that all of these emotions and all of these things that go on in our hearts and in our minds, they're all necessary to make us a complete person. But in this film, like I said, joy seems to be the dominant one. But in Scripture, is joy, does that equal happiness? Or is it something else? What is joy? Well, I want to tell you, it's more than just a 14-point Scrabble word. More if you play it on the bonus squares, right? Joy is defined in a lot of different ways in the Scriptures. But if I had to boil it down to one thing, I would say that joy is defined as a choice. It's a choosing, right? Now, for those of you who listen to the radio an awful lot, back a couple of years ago, there was an old For King and Country song, right? I choose joy, right? Let it move you. Let it move you. Right? Now that'll be in your head all day. I'm sorry. But the thing of it, the point is that joy is something that we choose, right? No matter what's going on around us, joy isn't just happiness. It's a state of mind that we choose to be no matter what the circumstances are around us. Now the question is, as we look at our scripture passage that we read from Romans, if you're still there, where does joy enter into this particular passage? Well, it's right there in all places in verse 3 where it says, we also glory, or we also take joy in our sufferings. Wait a minute. You want me to be happy about suffering? Only if you're defining joy as happiness. But that's not how we're defining joy, is it? We don't define joy as happiness. We define joy as a choice to be joyful even in the midst of our suffering. But how else does the Bible define joy? Well, I believe that the Bible also defines joy as contentment. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4 real quick. I want to show you something that Paul has to say about joy, about contentment. In this passage, Paul is talking to the Philippian people about a gift that they've given, and he's thanking them for it. And he's thanking them for the gift, but he also lets them in on a secret. Okay? Look at what he says. Starting in verse 10 of chapter 4 of the book of Philippians. He says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him, Jesus, who gives me strength." Now that last verse we quote all the time, don't we? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's a great verse. It's a great encouraging verse. But understand that the context of this verse has to do with contentment. It has to do with giving, yes, but it also has to do with being content with the situation in which we're in. I am not so sure that the majority of our world is content. In fact, there is a whole business model designed to keep you discontented. It's called advertising. The key of advertising is to get you to feel like you don't have everything you need. You turn on the news and there's a guy, you know, the older I get, the more these things catch my attention, but there's an ad for life insurance. Well, what if you die and leave your family with nothing? Oh my goodness, I'm discontented because I don't have enough life insurance. What happens if, one of my favorites is, you need to get away. You're tired. You're frustrated. You need to go on a cruise. Yeah, and then you come home from your cruise and you got this huge bill that you got to pay, and it's, yeah, now I'm even less contented. Thank you very much. Paul says that the secret of joy is learning to be content in whatever situation that we have. Why? Because God will supply everything for us. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. There's a third thing that we define joy as, and that's satisfaction. Now listen, I wanna back the truck up just a bit, because when we hear that word satisfaction, we think, well, I get everything that I want then. No. When I say the word satisfaction in this context, I want you to remember that joy comes when God is enough. Joy will come when your heavenly Father is enough for you. There is nothing else that we need other than God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working through us, which we already have if we're followers of Christ. As followers of Christ, you have everything that you need, because you have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus who lives inside you through His Holy Spirit. See, we can choose to be joyful. We can choose to have joy even in the midst of all of the worst circumstances. We can be content no matter where we are in life, whether we have everything that we need or we have nothing that we need. We can be content. Why? Because we know God. Because we have relationship with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because where does joy come from? It comes from God. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Few pages over to the left. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read a fairly large passage of Scripture here, starting in verse 16. But we're going to see how all of this comes from God, okay? Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. Here's what Paul says. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. There is a sense in which, as we choose to walk by the Spirit, there will be joy in our life. Paul says one of the fruit, one of the outworkings of the Spirit within the life is someone who has joy. We also have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as well. And again, this is not an exhaustive list. This is a list. This is one of the lists. This is the main list we go to when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But joy is part of that. And so as we grow in Christ, as we become more and more a part of what God is doing in our lives, we have joy. Because that's... it comes from walking in the Spirit. It comes from the fruit of the Spirit. It comes from as we walk in step and hand in hand, as it were, with the Spirit of God leading us. That's when we begin to experience love, joy, peace, patience. All these things become a part of us. So this joy comes from God Himself. It comes as a gift, as an outworking of how we walk in step with the Spirit. I love how Paul puts it here. He says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Two illustrations come to mind, and I've shared these with you before, but I'll share them again. The first is that of a soldier in the army and staying in step and marching in line and being, you know, obedient. So there's this obedience aspect that as we listen to what God is saying, how the Spirit leads, that we're marching in step with how He leads us. And we turn when He says to turn, and we turn around when He says to, you know, about face. We do the things that God is calling us to do. But then the other example of keeping in step is that of the dance, which is a much more intimate and a much more relational thing, right? And as we did, and I'm not going to dance because I can't, but as we move with our partner, right, whether it's, you know, our girlfriend, fiance, wife, whoever it might be, we dance with them and we keep in step with them. And as the longer we can keep in step, we're not stepping on each other's toes, right? So here's to take this analogy a little further. When the Holy Spirit begins stepping on our toes, guess what? We're out of step. We're out of step. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. So this idea of obedience, marching along, that's important. But also it's this idea of dancing with the Spirit and moving in and allowing Him to lead. That's where joy comes from. So how do we choose it? Right? We're talking about choosing joy. How do we choose it? Well, we've kind of already let the cat out of the bag here. Two things that help us to choose joy. And the first one is contentment. Right? We talked about that. Which is the state of having enough. And honestly, friends, we need to allow God to be enough for us. I was listening to a preacher once, and I don't remember who it was. Might have actually been Francis Chan. I don't remember. But they were talking about their mother-in-law or their mother or somebody who in their life just, you know, this was a person who just absolutely loved Jesus, right? Jesus was enough. And as they were coming to the end of their life, they were sick and they were coming to the end of their life, and they just were everything about them, they were just so excited to be able to go and see Jesus and to be with Him. And the idea there was that the point that the speaker was trying to make was this, that is Jesus enough for us? If we were to strip away everything else that we have, our family, our loved ones, our possessions, our positions, if all of that were to be stripped away and all we were left with was Jesus, would He be enough? And if the answer is no, then there's something is wrong. And I'm not saying that we're unsaved, but I'm saying we need to get to a point where we are content with what we have, where Jesus is enough, where what God has done for us, that we allow that to just be enough. The fact that we have had our sins forgiven and we have right relationship with Him and that we are His, is that enough? It needs to be. That walking in obedience to Jesus is enough. That saying, look, Jesus, if you took everything else away, I would still follow you. This is where Job was, wasn't he? I mean, Job lost everything, and God was still enough that he would not curse God. He had questions for God, but he never abandoned his faith. He never abandoned God. God was enough for him. And the second thing was satisfaction. And again, listen, not satisfaction in where we are. Because listen to me. Too often, listen, I have said it before, I will say it again. Satisfaction in a Christian life is something that should never happen. And I'm saying, we should never be satisfied with where we are in our relationship with Jesus. We should always be looking to go deeper. We should always be looking to go further. We should always be looking to learn more about Him and know Him more and more and more and more. So it's not satisfaction in where we are, but it is satisfaction in who God is and what He's done. Again, satisfaction and contentment, probably synonyms, probably the same word, probably the same meaning. But just to understand that God is enough. I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you to find the joy of Christmas in everything that you do this week. This week, for most of us, probably going to be pretty hectic, pretty chaotic, maybe even frustrating and a bit messy. If you're at my house, they will be all those things within a half an hour. But Christmas can also be a joyful, loving, peaceful, hopeful time. And that's what we've been talking about in this series. It's what we've been talking about throughout the Advent season. And so I hope that this Christmas you will take the time to see the hope that is ours in our faith in Jesus Christ. That you will take time to be still and to allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts. That you will choose to love those who do not love you back and who are not loving or lovely people. And that you will choose joy even in the midst of your most difficult circumstances. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for everything that it means. We thank you for everything that it is. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we walk out of these doors, again, as the church leaves the building, that we would take the message of Christ everywhere that we go. And that the joy of Christmas, not just the joy of Christmas, but the joy of our faith in Christ, the joy of the Holy Spirit moving and working in and through us, Lord, would literally drive us out of this place to share it with everyone that we come in contact with. Lord, I pray that you would help us in the days to come, over the course of this next week, to really take stock of where we are. Lord, to choose the joy of Christ, to choose the joy of this season, to choose the joy of a relationship with you, to choose the joy that comes from knowing who Christ is and what he has done, that would just spur us on to share that message. We love you, Lord, and we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.